chapter 30 of the book of Genesis. And when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." Notice that one child would not be good enough. Rachel wanted children. You know, Leah has four and she has none. This isn't about motherhood. It's about competition. Verse 2, "And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, 'Am I in God's stead, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?'" Jacob is angry at Rachel for implying that her lack of children is his fault. He says, "I'm not God. Can't give you something that God won't give you." Verse 3. She said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. Jacob should not have done that. He should have said, "Listen, Rachel, we're going to pray together for a child, and we're going to trust that God will do what is best." 5. "And Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. And Rachel said, 'God has judged me and has also heard my voice and has given me a son.' Therefore called she his name Dan." Rachel suggests that God approved of what she did, and he rewarded her for giving her servant girl to Jacob. Well, her reasoning went like this: since it got results, it must have God's approval. Results did not prove God's approval. You know, there are about 10,000 cults out there leading millions to hell, which prove that that type of reasoning is dead wrong. 7. "And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, 'With great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed.' And she called his name Naphtali." And I told you this really was not about motherhood. It was about winning. She prevailed against her sister. It wasn't about motherhood. 9. "When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpha, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife. And Zilpha, Leah's maid, bore Jacob a son. And Leah said, 'A troop comes.' She called his name Gad. And Zilpha, Leah's maid, bore Jacob a son. And Leah said, 'A troop comes.' And she called his name Gad. And Zilpha, Leah's maid, bore Jacob a second son. And Leah said, 'Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed.' She called his name Asher." Leah says, "Now I'm happy." And why was she happy? Because she has the admiration of the other women in the area. That's pretty pathetic and a very unstable foundation for happiness. It's a recipe for deception. I should say for depression, because when you don't have their approval, then you're going to be sad. Just try to be content having the approval of God, and let others think what they're going to think. 14. "And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, 'Give me, I pray you, of your son's mandrakes.'" Mandrake roots were used as a fertility drug back in those days. So Leah's oldest son, Reuben, finds these mandrakes and brings them to his mother. Verse 15. "And she said unto her, 'Is it a small matter that you should take my husband? And would you take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore, he shall lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes. Rachel makes a deal with Leah. I will let you sleep with Jacob if you give me some of those mandrakes. You know, God did not approve of this garbage. You could pattern a soap opera after this family. Verse 16. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come in unto me, for surely I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. Leah says, Jacob, you must be with me tonight because I have hired you. Doesn't it seem like Leah is humiliating herself? Someone says, well, Leah needs more self-love. No, she has too much self-love. The Bible says that no one hates themselves, and Leah loves herself so much that she's willing to humiliate herself to get what she wants. You know, when self is king, people will do the most degrading, humiliating things to get what they want. 17. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, God has given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. She says the same thing her sister said earlier. She's saying, God is so happy, and he's so proud of me for giving my servant girl to Jacob that he has rewarded me. God bless me because I promoted the sin of fornication. You know what this family needs more than anything? Is a moral compass. Because whatever they have right now, whatever they're using right now is just spinning out of control. 19, and Leah conceived again and bore Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God has endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards, she bore a daughter, called her name Dinah. And God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. Rachel tried complaining to her husband. She tried giving her servant to her husband. She tried all sorts of things, you know, to get her husband to love her, and to get her husband to, well, he did love her, but to get her husband to be able to conceive with her. And you know what? She prayed, and God did it. Funny she didn't think of that earlier. Verse 24, and she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. She's not satisfied with one. She wants another one. Probably should have been satisfied with one, as we will see later on. Verse 25, and it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto my own place and to my country. 14 years of service to Laban are finished. In the last 7 years, Jacob has become the father of 11 boys and one girl. Jacob wants to return home to the promised land, so he asks his father-in-law Laban to send him away and his family with him in a friendly way. Verse 26, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go. For you know my service which I have done you. Jacob has done his part, so Laban should do his. Laban should allow his daughters to leave without giving Jacob a hard time about them going. And when we treat others kindly, it is reasonable to expect kindness from them. Doesn't always work out that way, but it should. 27. And Laban said unto him, I pray you, if I have found favor in your eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. When God blesses his people, the good often spills over and blesses those who are connected to them. And that was the case with Jacob and Laban. Laban knew it too. Verse 28. And he, Laban, said, appoint me your wages, and I will give it. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Pay you whatever it takes to keep you here. He was a sly dog, though. Jacob shouldn't believe him. 29. And he, Jacob, said unto him, you know how I have served you, and how your cattle was with me. Jacob took care of Laban's livestock for 14 years. All he did was serve Laban. He did nothing to make money for himself. It sounds like Jacob is preparing to ask for a huge wage. 30. For it was little which you had before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own house also? God had blessed Jacob's work. But Laban is the only one who benefited from it. Now Jacob says, I have a large family, and I need to start providing for it. 31. And he, Laban, said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flock. In other words, Jacob says, I don't want a fixed salary. He's saying, I don't want anything that belongs to you, Laban. And Laban might be thinking, oh, great. I sure am glad that I told Jacob to name his own wages. Verse 32. He says, I will pass through all your flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come. When it shall come for my hire before your face, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. Jacob says, for my pay, I will take every spotted and black sheep that your flock produces in the future. And Jacob also says that he will remove all the spotted and black sheep from Laban's flock before the agreement commences. That would reduce the likelihood of spotted and black ones being born in the future. Verse 34, and Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to your word. Laban is quick to say, good. He's thinking, I got the best of this boy again. Slickered him again. 35. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons, Jacob's sons. Verse 36. And he, Laban, set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. So, just so there is no mixing of the spotted sheep with the white sheep, Laban separates them by a 3 days' journey. And then Laban puts his own sons in charge of the spotted and black ones. Verse 37. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut tree and piled white streaks in them and made the white appear, which was in the rods. Jacob takes tree branches and peels part of the bark off so that the branches are white and dark striped. 38. And he set the rods, which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters and the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods. Now, stop there for a second. The sheep would meet at the watering place, and since they were together, they would mate. Jacob knew they would do that, so he set these peeled branches in front of them while they mated. And notice what happened, last part of verse 39. It says, they brought forth cattle, ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. That is what Jacob hoped would happen. Now, this was either something that God commanded him to do, which would make it an obedient act of faith that God rewarded, or Jacob did it on his own, and God, who just loves to bless his people, gave him what he wanted. Either way, as we will see later, it was God who did it, not the branches. All the good we have is a gift from God. 40. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring straked and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle. Jacob may have thought, you know, those striped branches worked, so I think I will take this project to the next level. He put his spotted sheep in front of Laban's sheep, and he thinks, well, maybe if Laban's sheep look at my spotted ones, they will produce more spotted ones. 41. And it came to pass whenever the stronger cattle did conceive that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters that they might conceive among the rods. Jacob didn't want any scrawny spotted sheep. Consequently, he put the striped branches in front of the stronger sheep when they mated. 42. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob. Jacob's flock is growing and his sheep are strong. Again, if God told him to do these things with the branches, then it's his obedience, and it was an act of faith, which God was rewarding. More likely, God is just being nice to him. And if this is a superstitious thing on Jacob's part, believe me, God's going to correct him shortly. 43. And the man, Jacob, increased exceedingly and had much cattle, and maidservants, and menservants, and camels, and asses. And so Jacob became such a successful businessman that he had to acquire men and women servants to help him take care of everything he owned.